This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from San Francisco, home of Super Bowl 60, it's the Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey, WWE superstar Seth Rollins, NFL Network analyst Steve Smith Sr., comedian Adam Ray. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Number two, the Rich Eisen Show of day number two of our three-day residency here in downtown San Francisco at Super Bowl 60 is on the air. We're on Disney Plus, we're on the ESPN app, and we're on ESPN Radio every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time. We say hello to all those watching and listening right now. Let's get to our first guest here, already sitting in his position stage, courtesy of the one of the best in the business, CeeDee Lamb. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You got it. This is a big moment for you, TJ Jefferson. We just said goodbye to Seth Rollins, your beloved wrestling superstar, and now the superstar of the Dallas Cowboys, your favorite team, is here.
It's like you booked these guests just for my pleasure.
I'm a giver, even though there is an I in my first and last name. I'm a team player at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
And I thank you for this.
You're very welcome.
You see what I had to do, Rich? I had to pull out, some room on the table.
Okay. Did he ask you to sign that yet?
No, not yet, but I will.
Okay. It's coming.
There's some big names on that helmet.
I'm so glad that you're here at work today, TJ.
Everyone should have this type of gig, to be honest.
What goes through your mind when the Super Bowl is being played and your Dallas Cowboys are still trying to get to that spot, CeeDee Lamb? What goes through your brain, man?
How can I get us there? Yeah. How can I help? And what moves or what steps in the right direction do I need to take to get us there? As far as a leader, a kid looking up, you know, in the NFL, and I always wanted to play in the NFL. So it's different POVs and perspectives and way I can look at it.
Yes.
But right now it's a player on this team, and it's how much better can I get?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, when Brian Schottenheimer was hired this past year in Dallas, and there was a lot of folks wondering, you know, his name wasn't on a lot of other radar screens in Dallas, brought him in, and Mike McCarthy is out. I thought he coached his ass off, from my perspective, just sitting on a set watching you guys. And what was it like from your perspective?
He won us over with the first team meeting. Obviously, when he had, when the news had broke, he reached out immediately to everyone involved, obviously on the team, the leaders. I was in Miami when the news had broken. He had called me, and we had a brief conversation as to what we expect out of our offense and out of our team. Obviously, we fell short of our goal, but offensively, I felt like we took a great step. Whether it's the running game, whether it's play action, whether it's holding up, or Dak just balling, you know. And bringing on GP just helped skyrocket the offense.
Well, what did he say in the first team meeting? You said he had you at hello like that. What happened?
Well, I mean, it was just how assertive he was. He won the team over immediately. I feel like the thing that a lot of people lack in this league is confidence. And I feel like once he got in that meeting room, he took over the reins, understanding the situation and the shoes that he had to fulfill. And Mike, granted, just winning, you know, just having your guys believe each and every week. How can you do that? How can you control the room? It's easy to do it when we're winning, but when we're losing, how can you help us get back on the right track, you know?
Well, you just said something that I don't hear too often. You said an issue you see in the NFL is some guys lack confidence.
Sure.
And I look at NFL players, I don't see, you know, less confident people. I see confident people. So where do you pull that from? Obviously, from your experience.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of things that goes unspoken, right? It's more of a mental thing in the league. Physically, you're going to be there. You're going to be, like, if you can run around, obviously, and do your job, you're going to be there. But mentally, you never know. The game plan probably was confusing. The week going into the game probably was, you know, a little shaky. But once the game day hit, I feel like just relax, close your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just go play, go ball, go do what you always wanted to do since you were a kid.
That's it. And that's simple, and you try to keep it simple like that.
That's all you got to do.
What do you think of this matchup, CeeDee Lamb, and who wins this Super Bowl 60?
I do think the Seahawks pull it off. I do, just because they both have a great defense, but I feel like Seattle has a lot of crazy firepower on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the Patriots have definitely been doing a lot of good things. I have a homie who's a real diehard Patriots fan, mm-hmm. and so I've been hearing about this all year, right? So it's not like I haven't been watching these guys.
You got one right here, you know, as well.
Is it me or we?
Oh yeah, no. I have a high school friend who's really like everything, and I mean, he has so much belief in them to where, like, I mean, I thought he was delusional, but you're delusional until you're right, right? So for him, like, it's just to see these guys go out here and they're just watch the defense just take over the game. I mean, they have stars all over the place. Granted, Drake is playing out his mind, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out him and everything that he's doing. He got a young group of receivers. Those guys know how to get open and create space. But I feel like that D-line in Seattle is pretty elite.
Well, I mean, I assume you're rooting for DeMarcus Lawrence, too,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, listen, I understand the way he left, and it mm-hmm. wasn't all that great, and he right. basically said, you know, they don't believe in me anymore. I'm just going to go to Seattle win a Super Bowl, and for him to be able to speak that into existence with his right. play would be pretty impressive, to say
yeah,
the
least. That's kind of crazy. As much as, I mean, as blunt as it was, I mean, he talked it up, you know, and he's able to perform. He's got a couple touchdowns on his own,
yes.
right? And it was good to see. We call it big man touchdowns, you know.
Yeah.
So for him to see him flourish right now, I mean, it's a great thing for him. And I'm obviously happy. There's no love lost. He knows that all the time that we spent and knowledge that he's given me while I was there with him.
Yes.
It's been a great time.
And then you heard what Micah said this week about his relationship with Jerry, right?
That
he said it turned to S, is basically what he said.
Oh, yeah.
And he wishes it was something different. When that was going down, did you try and broker anything between Jerry and him?
I mean, I can't really say too much to Jerry. You know, I mean, I can give him my opinion as to what I think about Micah, and then at the end right. of the day, him and his team is going to make the best decision for us, right? But as for me, and as everyone know, I was pretty upset when Micah left. I'm not afraid to say it again. Like, but I feel like it was beneficial for both parties. Micah got the money that he deserved. And at the end of the day, I feel like we ended up with Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark, and we couldn't stop the run. So that was pretty good for us to elevate as far as defensive-wise, but then we were missing a pass rusher to get to the queue. I feel like that's what we're missing. But overall, as a team and as a unit, we could definitely be better and step up and hold our end of the bargain. But Micah's my man. He know that that brotherly love is never lost.
I bet. What are you doing with Old Spice, CeeDee Lamb?
So, obviously, I'm in a locker room with a bunch of guys that stink. Sorry to tell you guys. But
Understood.
I feel like
I'm at a desk like that.
Yes, they would definitely have to have some type of, you know, refreshing. So, as for me, working with Old Spice and their new Alchemist deodorant, mm-hmm. helps you smell like you're wearing an expensive deodorant,
mm-hmm.
even when you're not. So, and they actually have body wash as well. So for a couple of my teammates, we'll have a lot of bottles laid out in the showers because I feel like we all need a little refreshment in our life, no?
Okay. And I saw the product that you brought here. What is it? It's cashmere and vanilla wood.
Absolutely.
If I had to tell you, one of those was my nickname in high school. Which one would you have chosen?
Cashmere.
Incorrect.
Oh, vanilla wood. That was a good one.
Listen, man, it's a coin flip. I get it's a coin flip.
50-50, and I lost my 50.
I get it's a coin flip.
You know we're going to call you that forever.
Vanilla wood.
So be it, sir. So be it.
Welcome to the Vanilla Woods.
Hello. Well, we can make up a lot of stuff.
A good name. Good name.
Listen, what do you say to Cowboys fans, CeeDee Lamb, like this guy who is living and dying and wants to see a Super Bowl end zone painted with the Cowboys logo on it?
Have
like
faith,
you.
Man. Just have faith. I know it's a lot to ask for in a long time, but like there's teams that haven't been longer. So trust.
Exactly. Yep.
Just trust. Believe in us. We're continuing to work. I know for as long as I'm here, I'm going to work my tail off to make sure that we're hosting up that trophy, and we're going to do it Very fashionable.
Okay. And if you go on a playoff run, maybe Michael Irvin will show up on the sideline with a belt, right, and start hitting.
Exactly. And give him a belt. BTA, right? Shout out Mike.
Spank that.
I mean, he takes that 88 club
very
stuff
seriously.
Very seriously. Very seriously.
We have a great connection. We have Post Malone in there, too. I don't know if you guys
That's
know.
That's group chat, right?
Okay.
Part of the 88 club.
All right.
He's an honorary member.
Okay.
But it's a great time. I mean, these guys talk to me every week, every opportunity that I can, like, to have a question. And having that open door policy, like, for me is
yes. It's
really huge because I looked up to these guys. You know, like, this is a surreal moment for me. Granted, yeah, I'm a superstar, celebrity, and all that, but I still have, like, a personable moment where I'm just like, I can call Mike right now, and he'll answer and give me real authenticity.
By the way, I might need you to do that because he's so damn busy with his new Netflix thing.
That.
Like, I mean, like, even I sometimes, I'm like, and he never, he always, his voicemail box is full half the time.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it don't
Will you
stop.
Tell him to just, like, how, you can show him how to get rid of his messages.
Literally,
you know?
Can't.
Can't.
I don't even know how you can contain Mike.
Remember, Rich, he said he keeps it full because family keeps calling and asking for money.
Yeah.
So
oh, that's
full,
right.
That way no one
okay,
can,
so scratch that, is basically what you're saying. Thank you for coming on here.
Appreciate you.
Everybody, check out the Spice Alchemist Collection.
Please.
Get it wherever you get your Old Spice. And I appreciate CeeDee Lamb for appearing.
Woo,
That's CeeDee Lamb right here on the Vanilla Wood Show. It's got a ring to it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
I don't know if ESPN's into it, but we'll find out. Christian McCaffrey's coming up, everybody.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show is our one big simulcast feed, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. For those listening, we say hello on Disney Plus and the ESPN app. We're going to be on ESPN2 for our third hour, so clean your desks up. Okay, linear cable, we got to really put on our best foot forward.
Act like we've been there before.
Well, we have. So while Christian McCaffrey is making his way through San Francisco traffic, do you remember Geno Smith was once upon a time asked about being written off? Mm-hmm. Remember he said that he never wrote back? Yeah. That was a very
amazing
famous line.
Yeah.
That was, did he say that to Lisa Salters after a game?
Monday night game.
They wrote me off, but I never wrote back. And I'm like, that is the greatest thing. I need to steal that. It's my first thing that I thought.
Well, you're Vanilla Woods. You can do that.
Well, here's thank you so much. For those who don't know what you're referring to, I ask you to stop.
Wow.
But Christian McCaffrey, I think, is coming on at any rate, long story short. Sam Darnold is another quarterback that the Seattle Seahawks now have that's been written off. And he was asked in his final media availability of the week about being written off.
You know, I think it doesn't really come down to that for me. You know, it's always just been about putting in the hard work every single day. And, you know, sometimes hard work and all the dedication and hours I've put in the off season, during the season, you know, that just, it leads to this moment, you know, and that's kind of the mindset I have and really the mindset I've had my entire career.
And for those who think that might be a line, don't forget Jordan Palmer, our quarterback guru here. Who knows Sam Darnold well and has been around Sam for quite some time, obviously, from back in the day in high school. And obviously his brother is a USC alum who is trying to do what Sam Darnold has become, which is the first USC quarterback in a Super Bowl. Jordan told us that Sam is internally motivated, not externally motivated. Meaning when he sit here and says, that really doesn't matter to me about people having written me off. It's all about my hard work and my dedication and what I know that I have to do in order to be a good quarterback. That kind of dovetails into what, you know, we're all trying to, that's why I always joke that we're weaving a tapestry here, that we have guests on talking about somebody and then suddenly it's a storyline that we can actually pull. a soundbite from that, for Kevin O'Connell talking about in Minnesota that he thinks that organizations fail young quarterbacks before young quarterbacks fail organizations, and that may be a reason why he's sticking with J.J. McCarthy. We're not going to, you know, drop the young kid that we drafted. And so Sam Darnold, we're going to offer something to him, but it's not going to be maybe what he wants outside of the finances, which is it's your team. And he goes to Seattle where it's his team, and look what he's done with it. You put it all together, and it all kind of makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I really like Sam Darnold. You know, it really would have been easy for him to just kind of pack it up after the, you know, the failed Jets, and he failed in Carolina. It would have been easy to just kind of like, you know, just kind of go away and be a backup quarterback, and that would have been his career. It would have been fine. He would have stayed in the league a long time. But to keep grinding and to have the success in Minnesota, have them kind of say, you know what, we're going to go in this direction. And, you know, a lot of people weren't sure how Seattle was going to go. His contract had a, you know, they could have got out of it after 1 year if it didn't go bad. And now they're in the Super Bowl, man. It's hard not to root for this guy.
And, you know, it's interesting that you got to be careful on terming somebody a failed quarterback, and for you to actually use that words, having seen Baker Mayfield down the street getting a coffee today.
Exactly.
I mean, be careful how you, but in all seriousness, yeah. The Jets failed him. And by you know, you draft him, and if I had to put the finger, if we had the finger of blame here,
I thought about
Carolina also. He did start 3-0 when he went to Carolina. Who do we have on recently? Well, we had Adam Thielen talking about it on NFL Network, saying how he started 3-0 and everybody was seeing what he could do in that offense. Oh, Joe Brady also mentioned that when he came on as the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, because he was the offensive coordinator when Sam Darnold showed up in Carolina. That's who was talking about it as well, is that he showed up in 3-0 in Carolina. And we were even joking on our show, MVP. Like MVP Sam Darnold, joking like he could never be the MVP. That literally was what we were talking about. That was the subtext of our commentary. And sure enough, lo and behold, look who could be the MVP of the Super Bowl and go on some sort of a run. But, you know, Adam Gase clearly wasn't the right man for the moment in New York. And then in comes Robert Saleh with a second overall pick. And like, we're not going to stick with Sam Darnold here. We're not going to go through the seeing ghosts growing pains. If we're going to go through any growing pains, let's draft somebody second overall. They draft Zach Wilson, and off goes Sam Darnold. We saw what happened in Carolina. Out goes Matt Rhule. Then he goes to San Francisco. So I would just say that organizations failed this guy, and he was also part and parcel as to why an organization might feel like it's time to move on. But now here he is in his fifth team. Drake May, we all know, another third overall pick. And that's what we talked about with Kurt Warner before, right? How awesome is it that they're both third overall picks? One hits it. But not right away. Did need a coaching change for Drake May, not just for Vrabel, but Josh McDaniels being the one in his ear and in the meeting rooms. And now here he is going into the Super Bowl in year two, and this is what he had to say about other quarterbacks, veterans, who have reached out or he's picked brains of getting ready for this big moment.
Yeah, I think Coach McDaniels has probably been the best with, you know, experience in that. You know, coaching so many quarterbacks, you know, really just one quarterback in this game for so long, and just knowing, you know, the emotions of even just running out there the first time and how much kind of how cool the moment is, but at the same time how much you're like, man, this is it, you know, this is what we're here for. You know, like I said before in here, Peyton's reached out to me after, you know, Denver, and had some, you know, good tips about trying to keep, you know, my rhythm, my schedule the same, but, you know, really, you know, other than that, just trying to do whatever I can, you know, one more time, one more week. You know, we have 2 weeks of prep and got a couple of days here now to do whatever I can this time to, you know, kind of fine-tune the things and kind of dot the I's, cross the T's, and get ready for the game.
If I ever told you Peyton Manning would be reaching out to a New England Patriot quarterback to give some advice to him, what would you have said? You know what I mean?
Yeah, did a warm place get cold all of a sudden?
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty damn cool. And again, just it's amazing. One third overall pick is clearly the guy for an AFC East team, and one third overall pick for an AFC East team isn't the guy right away. And now they're both in Super Bowl 60. Come on out here. Christian McCaffrey has just shown up here. We're live on TV and radio. What's up, Matt?
Great to see you. Please take a seat.
There he is. Christian McCaffrey is here, guys.
What's up, bro?
It's been a while since we've had Christian on the program. How are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Appreciate you having me.
What's tougher, being a dad or getting through traffic?
Traffic's brutal right
now. It's bad. Yes. But I appreciate you just jumping right here, and I mean, you're running all over the place.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my, of course. Of course. Yeah, right out of the car, right onto the, the chair. You fired up to be here.
I know. I appreciate that. Courtesy of FedEx, it's spotlighting tonight's FedEx Air and Ground NFL Player of the Year Awards. FedEx is going to donate $15,000 to Feeding America food banks in each of the winning players' home markets. Oh, is that the trophy right there?
All right.
Look at that.
Sweet.
We should put a microphone in front of it. If only that trophy could talk. Pretty cool.
Yeah, really.
How are you doing?
I'm
how's
doing
everything
great.
With you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, yeah, doing fantastic, man. Body feels good, and pumped to be here.
Okay, cool. Well, how would you turn? I'll ask you. I asked your guy Juszczyk last week about you and about the season. How would you turn? Would you term this 49ers season a success, Christian McCaffrey?
Well, you know, there's always one team happy at the end of the year. And, you know, every year I've played, don't have the Super Bowl yet. And so you always end up a little bit bitter. But I think the more experience you get in your career, the more I feel so much gratitude for teams like the one I was just on.
Right.
Because of the resilience, because of the fight, the character, all the things you would want in a football team, this team had. Wasn't easy. You know, we had a lot of adversity throughout the season, but guys just showed up every single day. And it's a good reminder that, you know, the fundamentals of football, hard work, dedication to the craft, blocking and tackling, not some serious speech or potion that did it. It was more just guys showing up every day. And, you know, obviously we didn't end up the way we wanted to, but, you know, it was one of those teams where you'll look back on and I'll be really proud to be a part of it.
But I would term it a success. Honestly, because of who did not play and for whatever the reasons were, and you guys just kept on clicking week in and week out. Did Kyle's ever mention anything? Like, what did he do potentially any differently this year for this team to succeed for Kyle Shanahan at the helm?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's the coach of the year in my book. You know, I think when you look at all of the adversity that we had to go through and still to get to where we did, that's a testament to the staff, the players that Jed and John and Kyle have brought into the building. And then it's a testament to the leadership. You know, when you have a guy like a Fred or a Bosa or a Kittle or Brock, whatever, when you have them go down and the depth to be able to come in and produce, that's a big deal because that can go the other way. And so whenever you have that, it's a testament to the culture. And that starts with leadership. And again, just, you know, it was a cool team to be a part of in that way.
It was just, 49er fans were just out of their skulls about how well, you guys played. So I would say congratulations on that. And I know you'd rather be in the game. Clearly, I understand that. Interestingly enough, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to go in my head here, you were on the team with Sam Darnold in Carolina, correct? Before you got traded?
Yep.
Later that season when he showed up, or was it the same year or
no,
year later?
No, I was OTAs with him, camp with him, I was with him for a year, and then with him for the year that I got traded. So I left him in the middle of the year, and then I was with him again in San Francisco.
So can you add any extra to what we're talking about, his journey and what he's been able to do? You had a front row seat to the team that drafted him, sending him to your team, and then seeing what happened there as well. Any extra?
Yeah. You know, Sam's become, you know, one of my better friends, and it's always weird when you watch somebody like Sam, who you watch him every day. He's unbelievably talented. You know, you talk about a guy that can make any throw on the field. He can run. He's impressive, you know, and I don't think I even understood how good he was until he came to Carolina. And a lot of times quarterbacks get so much credit. They also get so much blame. And it's not always their fault. And I think Sam was in so many situations that, you know, I can say it because I'm not Sam and I'm his friend. They weren't his fault. And, you know, all he did was bite down and continue to grit through injuries and all these other things and maybe some unfair situations and persevere through it all. And he never said anything. He showed up as a professional every single day, didn't blame anyone, didn't make excuses. And, you know, when you're that talented and stuff just isn't working out, that can be, you know, that can be emotionally and mentally taxing. But he's been inspiring to watch from my perspective because I know him, because I played with him. you know, and to see him just continue to trek and continue to show up every day, take Minnesota to a 14-win season and go to, you know, to the playoffs in his first year with the team. And then, you know, then he has to go through it again. They get rid of him. And now he's playing in a Super Bowl. And so as somebody like that, it's cool to see them getting their flowers.
And between all that, Christian, you know, I mean, you saw him, you were teammates with him after the team that drafted him sends him to another spot. And then you were there when he shows up as a backup, right? In San Francisco, right here. What did you see from him that you're willing to share when he's walking around the building, basically getting ready just in case he needs to be ready? And his career is now as a, looks like he's a backup quarterback at that point in time.
Yeah, Sam when he was a starter, Sam when he was a backup, same guy.
No kidding.
I think that's what makes him so special. He's the same guy every single day. He's not into what people are saying about him, good or bad. I mean, he's actually one of the people that told me one time, he's like, you know, when you read stuff about yourself, it's like buying a stock. And now you own the stock. If, you know, and so if it's good, it's good. But you also have to read the bad if that's how you go about your life. And I just remember him telling me that. I just thought of that. You know, but he has so much wisdom and he has so much maturity that he brings to a group. If he's the backup, he's accepting his role and he's going to go out there and be the best backup on the planet. If he's the starter, he's playing in a Super Bowl. And I think that's just a testament to his character.
So this doesn't surprise you?
Not at all.
Hmm.
Not at all.
What do you, and so what do you say to people who are surprised about it?
Look, he's playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
I don't have to say anything. He's, you know, right. He's doing it. You know, he's in the middle of doing it.
Right. So, are you rooting for the Seahawks? I know that puts you in a tough position here.
Yeah, as a player, you don't root for teams. You know, right. You never root for teams. You know, you're so competitive with everybody. So, it's one of those things where, you know, I'll always only root for whatever team I'm on.
Right.
And, you know, but you watch football and, you know, you hope it's a good game. But, you know, as somebody that's not playing in the Super Bowl, you look forward to that Monday morning because it's the official move-on date. And, you know. It's just fuel to the fire to continue to grow and continue to try to get there.
We had Kyle Juszczyk on the show, as I mentioned last week, and I asked him, you know, what makes you great? And he talked about your dedication, and he talked about the offseason, and he talks about how you're always about it. Where do you get that from? Like, where do you find your fire from, Christian McCaffrey?
That's a good question. I think, you know, I love football. You know, I think it's that simple. I love football. I love everything that has to do with it. I love my teammates. You know, we get to play a kid's game for a living. And, you know, Sundays are so fun. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of, you know, a lot of hardships, a lot of trials and tribulations to earn the right to play on Sundays. But, man, I love it. I love training. I love taking care of my body. I like feeling good. And I like competing. And so, you know, there's so much that you have to do to get to the point where you can kind of earn the right to go out there and compete. And it's a blessing to be able to play in the NFL. So I don't take it lightly. And I try to respect the game. You know, I know it has an end date. So for me, it's while I'm playing, man, I'm going to give it my all every day. And I know I have teammates that do the same. And, you know, those guys are so inspiring to me. And I genuinely love football. I love my teammates. And I, you know, try to respect the game and do whatever it takes.
Do you have a chip on your shoulder?
Always, man.
From what? What's your biggest chip?
You can, you know, find anything. You know, I won a Super Bowl. You know, I think everybody on our team wants to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you get close and you don't get there, that's a chip you'll die with that chip. And so, you know, I don't know. I find chips. You know what I mean? If there isn't a chip, I'll look online and find one. So try to find something, man. Try to find something. Yeah, I mean, I love competing. I love when someone tells me I can't do something or you're not good enough or this or that. I've been hearing it my whole life, and so sometimes it actually gets old. But no, man, I think there's the chip on the shoulder that I'll always have, I think, probably for the rest of my life. I think it's in my DNA. It's been with me since I was a kid. I think it's just growing up with three brothers, that's probably why you're always competing and you're always losing. You know, when you have an older brother, you're getting your ass kicked all the time. So you learn how to compete. You learn how to get better. You're constantly obsessed with how you can fix your mistakes so that you can go out there and win.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you're supposed to not be able to run between the tackles when you were coming into the NFL, that's a chip.
That was a thing, yeah. One of the reasons I went to Stanford. I was like, you know what, man? You know, there's all these other schools and people. I was the scat back. And I was like, if I go to Stanford, they can't argue that I can't run between the tackles. And then I ran power for a living for like 3 years.
And still, that was
the narrative.
Going into the NFL, I remember that.
Exactly.
I remember that.
Well, just imagine if you had played in the bowl game.
That's another one. You're a bad teammate. Let's not
bowl game. Yeah.
Sun Bowl. Let's not forget the old Sun Bowl, huh, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, now it's I don't know how many guys the next year missed bowl games, but I think it was like in the hundreds.
You're the godfather of this, man. You're like the George Washington.
I'm a pioneer.
Let's not forget that.
Me and Leonard Fournette. Like, you know, Leonard Fournette wasn't playing in the bowl game, and I'm like, that's my competition. He's probably training for the combines. I started thinking more about it, and there was obviously more that went into it. And you know, we laugh, but that was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make in my life. And I had to, you know, take a lot, you know, for making that decision. And but man, you know, I'm here now and happy with that decision. And you look at the college football landscape now, guys are getting paid, guys are getting what they deserve. You know, college is it's a professional sport. They're televised, marketing, jersey sales, stadiums, all that stuff. They deserve to get paid, man. And you know, we didn't have that, and you know, so it's cool to see that the landscape is changing. Obviously, I think they'll have to have some checks and balances with a lot of things, but it's cool where it's headed.
So in a couple minutes I have left, again, courtesy of FedEx, we'll talk about the Aaron Ground NFL Player of the Year Awards tonight. You mentioned, you know, you're one of four brothers. Are you the youngest or you're not?
I'm number two.
Okay.
Older and two younger.
If I'm not mistaken, Drake May's the youngest of
four
brothers, right?
Yep.
So that you look at him and you're like, okay, I get it, right? That he's as competitive as he is. Right?
No, 100%. I think anytime you have, especially three, I look at my younger brother, knowing that he's the youngest of four.
Yes.
My youngest brother, Luke, is definitely the he plays for Washington, obviously, and he's the fieriest of all of us for sure. That competitive, I mean, it's built in. It's in your blood at that point when you're the youngest of four. So,
the aw shucks Drake May that you see, don't buy it, is what you're saying.
No, he's a killer. Now, whatever persona he gives you, he is a killer, I promise you.
Yeah, because he's the youngest of four brothers.
Yep.
I love that. So the FedEx Aaron Ground NFL Player of the Year Awards. Okay, man. What names there are. Josh Allen, Trey McBride, Puka, Bijan, Matthew Stafford, and Jonathan Taylor are all in the mix, right? And you are the 2025 winners. You and Drake May and Jackson Smith and Jigba have been named FedEx Aaron Ground NFL Players of the Year. So congratulations.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. It's a huge honor. Huge honor. Appreciate it.
That is pretty cool, right?
Yeah, really cool. Yeah, FedEx has been amazing, too. I mean, this award's been around for 23 years. It's voted for by the fans, which is really cool. And, again, they're giving $15,000 to Feeding America Food Bank here in San Francisco.
Awesome.
And so it's a great partnership and really honored and blessed to receive the award.
And again, I love that you talk about your team and I understand what that's all about. I'm not, you know, being flippant about it. But if you win Comeback Player of the Year award tonight, that's for you. That's for you. That's for your wife. That's for everybody who's in your circle, right? What would that mean for you if you win Comeback Player of the Year award, Christian?
Oh, man, it would mean a lot. You know, I think of all the years I played, this one was interesting because there were so many things being thrown at me. You know, and last year ending the season that way and having to rehab multiple things to start, there was so much doubt, you know, transparently and really uncertainty with how the season was going to play out. But, you know, you said it, man, it takes a village. You know, we have our team, we have our trainers, we have our teammates, our coaches, our, you know, there's so many people involved, but then in the off season, you're your own team and, you got to have good coaches. You got to have good staff and it really does take a village. It takes consistent commitment to helping us get to where we want to be. And so I'm really thankful for all of everybody and they know who they are, for my trainers, my bodywork people, everybody that played a part in helping me get to where I'm at, man. I feel very, very blessed and, you know, thankful because it was a hard year. My wife, I had a baby, which was the coolest thing ever. And having my daughter was, I like to say, was my superpower, man, because that was a good day, bad day. You come home and you see her and takes away all the pain.
No kidding. What's her name?
Colette.
Sorry?
Colette.
Colette. Mm-hmm. What's the toughest thing about being a dad that you learned you didn't know going in for you?
Well, it softened me up. For sure.
It did.
Girl dad, man.
Oh, yes.
You come home, you see that smile, and she wants to see you. She's noticing the world, and you can't help it. But it's been so much fun, man. It's been cool watching my wife become a mom and how much she loves it. And so it's just been awesome, man.
But diaper changing, you're in the mix, right? You do this?
I changed her first diaper. I didn't want anyone else. I'm like, this is my job. First diaper.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I've been lacking.
Uh-oh.
I've been lacking. I owe a few diaper changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
But you know what? It's called, responsibility.
Yeah. It's
and you're taking
account.
You're taking owner.
Taking accountability.
That's a sign of leadership.
There are areas where I need to get better. That's one of them.
That's a sign of leadership.
Yep.
Even though you're clearly dropping the ball.
Yeah. Absolutely. I say that now. In a year, I'm going to say the same thing.
Oh, by the way, you're finished though. You're finished though. I mean, my daughter is now 12, and they're, you know, it's time for her to get to sleep and. She doesn't have, like, her ice water that she likes to have, and she'll look at me and, can you go downstairs, Dad? Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
And he goes down.
Yes, the answer is yes. Yeah. She knows the answers, yes. Before she even asks, she'll give me a look. Yeah, man, you're finished.
Right.
You're finished, but it's all good.
Good.
Congratulations on everything happening in your world. I hope you get to hear your name tonight the way
thanks,
you want
Rich.
It.
Yep, thanks.
You got it. Christian McCaffrey, again, FedEx.
Hey, guys.
Is spotlighting the FedEx Aaron Ground NFL Player of the Year Awards, $15,000 to Feeding America food banks in each of the winning players' home markets. Christian McCaffrey is here. We'll be back to wrap up hour number two before hour three hits here on the Rich Eisen Show with Steve Smith Sr. coming up.
Awesome.
Thanks, Matt.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Hyundai Hope on Wheels is something I'm proud to talk about all the time. Pediatric cancer research and awareness, my gosh, let's all get behind it. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Apparently, if you're on wheels in this town right now, it's not great.
No, it's traffic's a little tight.
We might have walk-ons the rest of the show, which I don't care. I mean,
yeah, people not, behind you are all waving to you, hi, Rich.
Yeah, Rich.
So, hey, look at that.
Everybody, hey.
Hey.
What's up? Should I give the you the man point?
Yeah.
Hey.
Tiger Woods, big dog.
So
there he is.
There it is. Hey. All right, now please, can you leave? No, I'm just kidding. Is that wrong?
Well, yesterday, we were just come on the air, and there was a dude literally
right behind me.
Yeah.
Trust me. I'm like, it's a magnet. The same thing back in El Segundo.
That's what I'm saying.
Where it's just one guy who's power cleaning the courtyard stands right over my shoulder like it's I'm Beretta, and that's the parrot. I know that's an old school.
Yeah, I get it, Rich.
Wow.
He's one of my favorite people on campus, though. He's so nice.
Who, the power cleaning guy?
Yeah, he is a nice guy. He's so happy.
But can he move 5 feet to the left or the right? When we're doing, okay.
I told you, he reminds me of the dude from Game of Thrones.
He does.
Who teaches the sword fight.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sir, but not today.
Not today.
But meaning he looks like that, or when we ask him to move, he says, not today.
He looks like him.
Okay.
He does, actually. That's great.
Steve Smith Sr. and Adam Ray are going to be our third hour guests. That'll be on ESPN2 for those who are maybe listening and want to watch and see what we are talking about, because we're right here. On 2nd Street in downtown San Francisco. And we love being here. Last night, I've been talking about the gig for a while, the Strand Theater last night. I did record an episode of This Was Sports Center with Chris Berman last night. You guys were all there.
It was
so good.
Now you're really making me sound like Jim Rome here. Just tell me how epic it was, please. No, but in all seriousness, it was just a blast because, again, this is a show that, you know, as soon as it became possible to move this show to the world of Disney and ESPN, I don't know why it just hit me, but I've always wanted to do a legacy pod on SportsCenter in the same way. What, there's legacy pods for The Office, right? And there's for Entourage
world.
Did one. There's a whole bunch of them, right? SportsCenter deserves to have one in itself because of what, you know, it was, how it was born and what it became. And before, again, I know I date myself, before the internet became big and that there were, you know, handheld phones that didn't look like the one that's the brick phone on front of you on their desk in our El Segundo studio, right? That it was a different had a different place in our sports viewership world than it currently has now, and it's just a sign of the times, really. But it's still a great highlight show that you seek out when you want to see something again, or you haven't seen something, or you've got an hour where you're just like, you know what, I just want to sit around and watch some sports and forget about the world, which is what SportsCenter still is. But I always wanted to do a podcast on back in the day, where I'm chatting with all my old colleagues when I was 26 with Hair, and they were all far, far along in their careers at some point, or maybe not. And it's happening. And ESPN has heard the idea, and they immediately were like, let's do it. You should do it, and we'll back up everything. So last night, we did it in the Strand Theater, and the folks behind the scenes at ESPN, led by Megan Judge, I'll shout her out here, just killed it. I mean, the stage was set, and it's part and parcel of the promotional campaign that's gonna back it, with old school televisions with knobs and VHS tapes were all over the stage, and it was really cool. And there's no way I'm gonna do this pod without having Chris Berman part of the first season.
Absolutely
necessary.
And
and
he agreed to do it live last night here in San Francisco, in between all his other gigs that he's doing here. And it was great. I'm wondering what it was like from your perspective hearing these stories last night.
Just sitting in the front row and
yeah, you guys were all up front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was in the very last row.
Well, that's because that's you don't like being all the way up front.
Yeah, and
you?
It was easier for me to take it all.
Okay, cool.
It was like a.
Or you weren't really there, and there's no way I could actually take an attendance if you saw all the way in the back row.
I can show you pictures.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I think for me, wanting to be in this business since I was a very young boy, it's because of Chris Berman. Mm. And growing up seeing the primetime show and
the draft,
and sports centers and the draft. Like, that's why I wanted to be a sportscaster and to talk sports and do this for a living. And so getting to see that up close and hear all the story, like the skunk story was, my God.
Yeah, about how a skunk got into the Sports Center, the old Sports Center studio when they first started out, had a garage door on one wall of the studio that sometimes didn't close all the way down because there were wires and things that were running from one thing to the other. And he said a skunk got in one night.
Yeah, and for months, he said.
And playing the name game, like, we would do that because of Berman, and you talked about growing up watching him when you were in school. I used to watch you in school when I was a freshman, and so it's just like it's all come full circle, and it was one of the coolest nights I've had in this biz. Yeah.
No kidding.
The one thing Berman said that I thought was interesting, when he got his first job, he goes, "We heard you were a good kid." Isn't that what he told you at one point?
He said, because it was some people from Brown where he went to school, and they heard that and are like, all things being equal, we'll take the good kid over somebody we don't know.
And we used to have, you know, college, high school kids come through the studio, and they were like, you know, could you give us any advice? I remember telling them once, sometimes it's better to be liked, because if it comes down between you and another person, people are more likely going to take the person they want to be around. And when he said that, I was like, yeah, that definitely makes sense. But it was amazing, man. It really was.
Thanks. I'm glad you guys felt that way. We also recorded an episode of This Was SportsCenter. By the way, it's coming out later on this year. I'll let everyone know when it's going to start hitting. And it's going to be on our YouTube channel, but mostly also on Disney Plus and the ESPN app. It's going to be great.
This is amazing.
And we're going to dress it up with videos and back in the day bells and whistles. Chris Fowler, we just shot one with him too. So it's going to be really cool stuff.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.